storms around, highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 86 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is The Miller's Edge with Christian Miller, two-time national champion and team captain for the Alabama Crimson Tide and former Carolina Panther, and his father, Corey Miller, the pastor of pain, a 9-year NFL veteran with the New York Giants and University of South Carolina Hall of Famer. This is The Miller's Edge.
Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope everybody is doing well. Hope you guys are having a great start to your day. Another day, another dollar, as we like to say, and also another practice in the books. Alabama returning to the practice field today after having some off time. I believe they actually had both Sunday and Monday off after scrimmage number two, given a little bit of time to kind of regroup, refresh, rejuvenate a little bit, and now it is back to practice, and they should have, I guess they're probably wrapping it up about right now. Should have some media availability post-practice, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So that being said, we will anticipate playing those videos for you. Not sure who to expect today. I don't know if it's an offensive or defensive day, but regardless, we should be playing some interviews, players and coaches, here in a little bit on the show. So make sure you guys are on the lookout for that. Again, we'll keep keeping you up to date with everything going on with camp. Pretty much coming to a close, Chase. I think you can technically say it's pretty much over now. Yes, you're still kind of in that camp grind mode, but with, you know, school coming back, everything kind of wrapping up and all that good stuff, is kind of, you know, the vibe is slowly shifted more into what you'd probably feel during the year. Now, for us, we still continued camp style practices, which I think that's what they're doing. Coach DeBoer indicated, you know, they anticipate to continue with the physicality and practices, and which is a good thing, which is a good thing. I think one thing, you know, there's a number of things I feel like we've learned through this fall camp, 2025 year two under Kalen DeBoer. One of those being that the intensity has been turned up a notch. And if you go back to a year ago, a lot of people were kind of talking about that, whether it was the music, the guests, whatever, just kind of the vibe, right? But now I would say, I mean, I think general consensus is, even for the people that get to go out there pre, or at least like media period, you can just kind of sense, you know, it's been turned up. And plus, you know, there's always people that are attending these scrimmages that are texting their friends and whatnot. I think everybody can agree. I mean, they've been getting after it. And I think that's good for this team. I'm not going to lie to you. I think our guys needed kind of a little bit of a slap in the rear, a little, you know what I mean, Chase? Something to kind of really get them going. I hate to say it, but I feel like, you know, and I think it's this really this whole generation, not just us, but, you know, guys a little bit more soft than they used to be. And that's ironic that I say that, because I admit I've gotten soft now sitting in the heat. I couldn't do much of it. But I just feel like the vibe of practice, man, and the intensity, it's definitely where it needs to be. It's definitely where it needs to be. So they've continued that. We'll talk about that today and more. Talk about, you know, some more thoughts on where we stand right now. Again, Florida State really, really approaching us quick, Chase. I mean, today's the 19th, man. It's going to be here before we know it. And I've been taking some time to kind of check them out. And again, it's difficult, a little bit more difficult for me, you know, because I explained already, right? When you got a new offensive coordinator, you got a new quarterback, you kind of got to, you know, look, you know, at various tapes and different people and all types of things, trying to get an idea, but you'll never really exactly know. I mean, because I'll be honest with you, I have no idea exactly what Gus Malzahn is going to do with this new Florida State offense that he has control of. I have no idea. Only thing I can go off of is literally what he did at UCF. Try to look at, you know, the personnel, like I mentioned. Try to go watch some Tommy. I was calling him Castellanos. I guess it's Castellanos. I don't know. But anyway, go watch him at BC. and try to piece together what I can. But anyway, I've been trying to do a little bit of that. And I think it's going to be interesting, Chase. Again, I don't know what they're going to pull out, but I will say just watching some of the UCF tape with Malzahn, which you already know he's going to throw some stuff at you. But just watching, I'm like, yeah, it's going to be one of those games. We got to be on our P's and Q's, because all it takes for one guy not being in position, having a mental error, and you're about as good as grass. But I'll say this. One thing I feel like we haven't been talking about a bunch when we talked about last year. We talked so much about the players, but I feel like this has kind of got lost, Chase, but it's something to consider. If you really go back and look at it, there were some times where I do feel like defensively at least, right? Offensively too, but I'm talking about the defense right now. I do feel like we weren't always in the best positions, right? And that to me is going to be something that, in terms of, I've talked about what the players need to do, but in terms of coaching, that's one thing I want to see improved on is being in better positions, putting our guys in better positions. And when we are finding ourselves in bad positions, can we adjust quicker? Can we switch it up and say, all right, this isn't working. What we prepped isn't working. We got to adjust on the fly, and we got to come up with something to do something to correct this, right? We got to course correct. And I feel like people, you know, we hear so much hype and praise and all this stuff, but sometimes, you know, when you're caught up talking about all that, which is fine, well, if that's what you want to focus on. Me, I like trying to fix stuff. I think you got to go back and remember, like, all right, there were some times we low-key got out-coached and out-schemed. And I think that's going to be a big deal, especially in this first game when you're talking about a coordinator like Malzahn, man, who he's going to throw a lot at you. So it's one of those things where I think it's definitely going to be a challenge, and I'm excited to see how we handle that challenge. But the good news is week one, they're not going to be, you know, perfect either. They're, again, everybody's kind of going through those growing pains week one. So definitely going to be interesting, man. Definitely going to be interesting. That being said, a couple things that have come up, Chase, that we talked about briefly before we got on here. We don't talk a whole bunch about Auburn, but you brought this to my attention, and I might get y'all's thoughts on this. It is a Talking Tuesday, by the way, so I'd love to hear from you guys, because I know you guys know a lot more about Auburn and history and all this stuff, and I have no problem saying that. So maybe you guys can help me figure this out. Allegedly, and this is legit, I had to make sure it was legit. I had to make sure I wasn't getting scammed. No pun intended, because it is Auburn we're talking about. But allegedly, they have officially claimed 4 more college football national championships, which I don't know how you can just start just claiming. So I know teams have done it, you know, over time, but I don't know how they just decided in 2025 that they're automatically just going to go back and add 1910, 1914, which, I mean, was football even really football at that point? 1958 and 2004. Now, 2004 is kind of confusing me. I'm like, that wasn't that long ago. How are you just now deciding you're going to go back and claim that? Why didn't you claim it at the, I guess, the appropriate time? I don't know. We'll read more into that, because I'm really curious kind of what came about with that. And if you guys have any info on it, please fill me in, because I honestly have no idea how that works, how you can just claim stuff. Another thing I saw, Chase, that was kind of funny. Coach Saban was speaking at an event. What is it, like a quarterback club or something like that. But he addressed the whole rumors about him returning to coaching that were sparked by one of his former players. And he had a funny response. So I'll play that when we come back, because I thought it was funny. And just knowing him, it's like he's like joking, but at the same time, he's being dead serious. And that's what makes it even more funny when you think about it. But anyway, those are a couple of things that have come up. But per usual, let me remind you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Try before you buy, nothing to lose. If you're in the market for a product that's going to help you eliminate and alleviate all that pain you're dealing with, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you name it, make sure you guys go and check them out. They will take great care of you just like they take great care of me. I'm telling you, just put them in your shoes, boots, sandals, whatever it is, and they get to work. That is clinically proven. 4 short weeks and you will notice huge differences. But just walk on in there. Walk-ins are welcome. Or you can always go to their website to schedule an appointment, goodfeet.com. Find the nearest location to you. Again, in Tuscaloosa, that will be in Midtown Village off of McFarland Boulevard. Stop on by, say hello. Great people, man. Great customer service. Just check it out if you're just curious. I know you hear me talk about it all the time. Go and find out why right there in Midtown Village, or find the nearest location to you on their website, goodfeet.com. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling on this Talking Tuesday edition of the show. 205-342-9904 is the number. Hit us up. We want to talk to you, hear from you, get y'all's thoughts on everything football and beyond and more right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Presented by
It's quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to mylocalcustomers.com today.
That's mylocalcustomers.com. Mylocalcustomers.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Time 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, so it's Talking Tuesday, so we're going to talk a whole bunch. Love to talk to you guys, 205-342-9904, but we got a bunch of conversations going on in the chat over on YouTube. Again, you can check us out. We do stream the show live on YouTube at The Miller's Edge on YouTube, plus follow us on all social media platforms to stay up to date with everything. Again, a lot of big stuff planned this football season, including, again, we do the show live at 1225 Fridays. You can come check us out, man. Hang out with us. Enjoy some great food, great drinks. 1225 University Boulevard. You can't miss it, right there on the strip. It is going to be fun, man. We did it last year at 12. Had a great time there. Over the weeks, man, just kept getting better and better. And it was such a great turnout. We really enjoyed it and really excited to be back there again. I know a lot of our listeners enjoy coming and hanging out and just having a good time, man. Again, we play the show in the venue and order food, drinks, enjoy yourself, enjoy the show, come hang out with me, and I think you guys really enjoy it. So make sure you guys check us out. Plus, you can always check out 1225 if you're just looking for a place to go hang out. Nightlife scene, they've got it. They've got TVs throughout. You can watch all your favorite sport events and all that good stuff. Just go kick it. They do a bunch of theme days as well, so make sure you guys check them out. Again, that is 1225, where food, fun, and drinks collide. All right, so let's do this. I know Ricky tagged us in something on Twitter, so we'll hit that. Plus, I mentioned Coach Saban's response. Let me start there real quick because this was kind of interesting. So, again, going back, that's probably what, a couple months now, Greg McElroy, former Alabama quarterback, came out and said one of his really, really trusted sources very, I guess, adamantly said that he felt that Coach Saban was not done yet. And we all know Coach Saban has since then been asked about it, said, as a matter of fact, three times in literally the span of 2 minutes on Fox News, the guy wouldn't, you know, let it rest, but said, no, that's, you know, not really what I'm into right now. I mean, I'm enjoying what I'm doing, everything with ESPN and spending time with family, all that good stuff. Anyway, so I guess it kind of came back up as Coach was speaking at an event. I believe it was yesterday or sometime this week, but anyway, his response was pretty funny, and if you know Coach Saban, it makes it even funnier. But this was his response to his former quarterback starting the rumor that his coaching career wasn't finished just yet.
So, Coach, what do you say to the rumors that you are returning to the sidelines to coach?
You know, I don't know where that came from. You know, Greg McElroy played quarterback for us, and if could have done something like that when he was a player, he got his ass.
So there you go. So he said, yeah, if he did that when he was a player, he would have got his tail kicked, which he's like joking around, but you definitely could tell he did not appreciate his former quarterback starting those rumors, man. But anyway, I did read up some more on it. I think he did mention, I mean, he does – He did admit, like, he does really miss being a part of the team, which he knew that was going to be. I mean, he talked about that. That was probably the biggest thing, or probably going to be the biggest challenge. But He did, you know, finish by saying he does appreciate being a part of the ESPN team and everything that he's doing. That at least gives him some sense of it. A little bit different than having the coaches and players, but he did mention that. Plus, he kind of did say, Chase, he was just, you know, with everything going on after that final year, coaching was just becoming difficult for him, and he just thought it was probably the right time. So I feel like we have this conversation, you know, once every few months, but, you know, everybody's still, they're going to kind of just, you know, prod a little bit and try to see if, you know, are you sure you're done? You should, yeah, okay. All right. We'll leave you alone for a couple months and we'll circle back here when we're getting curious again. All right. So sticking with Twitter, let's see what Ricky tagged us in. Okay. Ricky tagged us in as Josh Pate. He says, I know there's truth to this, but does the first hit in the game take the edge off, or is it pressure like this the entire game? All right, let's see what this clip says.
I think that, so of course the normal person doesn't understand that, but just the concept of game day. You talked about Thursday. Just take game day. Mm-hmm. I've always thought if you could take a normal person, don't even have them go through reps during the week. Don't have them go through film. Don't have them do anything. But just walk them into the environment on Saturday. Wake up at the hotel or Sunday. Get on the bus, police escort, in the stadium, and then just be on the field during warmups. The sensory overload that is a big-time college or pro environment, just the hour pregame leading up, and try and explain to that person, hey, you've got to go execute against professional football players. After all this, to me, even just work in media, it takes a little while to get adjusted to how big the sensory overload is. Yeah. You can sit in a studio and do it. You can be on a practice field and doing it. But like executing in an arena on Saturday, on Sunday, coaching or playing, just to be focused, like the level of focus you got to get to. And with a coach, they're not doing physical. There's just mental. To stay locked in, I've always appreciated folks who can do that.
It's taking a regular person to do that. If you take it a step further and give them the entire week of preparation, where like, here's your playbook, here's your tendencies, here's your keys to victory, and you're basically studying for a test all week long, and then you add the police escort waking up in the morning, it's quiet in the chow hall, everyone's sitting there having their omelets, some guys can't eat, some guys can't, you get on the bus, music's just playing, you hear different genres of music going on. Some guys like to sit quietly. Other guys are a little more loud. It's that nervous anxiousness. Then you get into the if you're on the first bus, you're there 2 hours before the game starts. You're rolling out. You're stretching. Everything's quiet. So, and then you go out. Fans, if it's an away game, they're yelling at you, screaming at you. Then you go to the pregame. Now the juices are really flowing because you have the full uniform on and you're going through and you don't want to like overexert yourself, but you want to put enough effort into where you're lubed up a little bit before you go in the locker room. The hardest part of every game is after warmups, going into the locker room before the national anthem. That's the hardest part of every single football game. Because then you got guys with their notes. I'm sure Will was like this, where he had his notes, his defensive calls, tendencies, these types of things. Some guys want to, you know, put the trap music on and then go to the prayer in the shower right after that. And they're yelling and hooting, hollering. You got a guy in the corner that's throwing up. Like, there's so many different things. And then you walk back out after being a part of warmups with the stadium's 25% full. Now it's 100% full, and it's like you're walking to a fucking gauntlet. And then the national anthem hits, your heart rate's at 180, haven't even taken a snap yet. And you're just thinking to yourself, let me get this first shot out of the way. And once you get that, it's like, all right, we can get going. The hardest part of the game.
We're here.
Right here. And we get to be able to sit and watch.
Okay, so hopefully Chase caught that blank button. Sorry, I didn't know that Cliff had that language in there. My bad. Sorry about that, guys. But I'll say this. I mean, he described that to a T, which obviously, I mean, he played years in the NFL. So, I mean, it makes sense. But, he described it to a T, man. Like, that's literally exactly how it goes. And, I mean, it is funny how you have so many guys that are so different. I mean, you do have the guys that are just no headphones, anything. They're just quiet on the bus. Over there, you have guys that are rapping, like, out loud. I mean, like, it's all over the place. I had a couple of teammates that before every game, they always threw up. It almost like a ritual. It was like they threw up before, like, every game. So much stuff going on. But to your point, Ricky, I think your question was, let me answer that real quick. Ricky's question to that was, does the first hit in the game take the edge off, or is it pressure like this the entire game? I'll say this. It typically does kind of take that edge off. I mean, because Once you kind of, to me, it was more like the first series. I had to get a series under my belt, then I was good. Because I mean, you just have so much pent up energy. Because it's like, at least for me, like I'm like wanting to be perfect out there. And then like he's describing everything that's going on. The only thing I would say is, contrary to what Josh Pate was saying, I actually would say that it's not the playing in the game actually is easier. Like he was describing, like, oh, I don't know how, like, there's so much stuff going on. Like, I don't know how you do. If anything, I'll be honest with you. Like, going out there and playing, like, that's like that to me is the easy part. People always ask that, like, what was it like playing with so many people? You got to remember, guys, like, playing a sport is different. Like, I do media, right? If I had to go talk in front of 100,000 people, yeah, good luck. I'm not doing that. But going and playing football, I'm tuning like everything. Like I used to tell people this all the time. I used to like literally wouldn't even be, I could care less. Like I would hear the crowd, like when they would get hype and it would hype me up. Outside of that, I like, it was almost like my focus was on the football field, right? Like what was going on in the football field on the sidelines. The crowd was just the crowd. I almost viewed the crowd as just like noise. I didn't think of it as like, oh, it's 100,000 people watching us do this. Like, now, if you screw up, if you mess up, I'm not going to lie to you. You do kind of like, dang, everybody saw that. Not just everybody here, everybody on TV. I just got embarrassed. But I'll be honest with you. Once that whistle blew and then, you know, that ball was kicked off, once you get that first series or first hit out the way, I mean, you're just in the zone, at least for me, and I think all my teammates would attest to this. You get in the zone and it's just like you're in a flow. You know what I mean? And it doesn't even, a 2.5 hour game feels like 15 minutes because you're just so locked in. Like, and because it's like every single, like, you're locked in on every single snap, every single series, come off, you're on the sideline, you're talking, you're going over, you're correcting, you're talking about what you just got in the last series, anything you might need to do differently, change what they're throwing at you, getting ready, put your helmet back on, go back out there one snap at a time, you know, like, because every snap is like a reset. You're going to try to go make a play. It resets. Go try to make a play. Reset. Like, to me, that was the easy part. And then, like, he was describing, throughout the week, you're doing all the necessary action, at least if you're on a good football team with the right coaches, right, that are going to be setting you up. So, like, you're repping all this stuff in practice over and over and over. You're getting installed. Like, again, I'll show you guys one day. I'll show you one of my old playbooks and, like, what – this looks like when he's talking about tips and tendencies and like, it's not just like, okay, here are the plays. No. Like I, when I tell you Mondays, you go over literally like GA spend hours on top of hours on top of hours watching tape where they get to the point where it's like, I'm not kidding guys. They can tell you out of each formation, what these teams do. So that's how they come up with tendencies. So like literally they'll say, all right, we'll go over all the 3x1 sets, right? They ran the ball X amount of times. They threw the ball X amount of times. When it was 2nd and 5+, this is what they did X amount of time. Like, and I know that sounds crazy, but you literally have people that do this. They spend all this time to break this stuff down. Now, I know you're wondering, well, how the hell did they relate all that to you guys? That's a lot of information. It is. But what happens is when they go up and these coaches are giving the presentation, like they make it a lot more concise. Basically, that way we just know, like, all right, these are their tendencies on this and that. And we're not going to remember everything. It's not to the point where, like, I'm like, okay, I just downloaded all this stuff to where I get in a football game and I'm like, oh, 2nd and 5+. This, they throw the ball, they hit a slant 65% of the time. Let me try to drop in this window. Like, it's not like that. But there are little reminders and things that do come up. And really more, it's more visual based, at least for me. Like, that always helped me out. So, like, picking up on formational stuff. So, like, if I knew I'm getting, like, a, you know, let's just say if I knew I've got a, I'm on the backside of 3x1 with a nub tight end and it's back near, like they might have a tendency of running like a certain thing. I might, as soon as I see that it registers, I'm like, oh, it's 3rd down. They're in this set. They like this play. I'm geared up for it, right? Like, okay, this back's about to hit this wheel route. I'm geared up for it. Might happen, might not. But yeah, you go over all that stuff. So in terms of like the big overload, if anything, it happens to me during the week because Monday feels like when you're in school and you start a new chapter. You guys remember this? I just thought about this. I haven't been in school in a long time. But do you guys remember in school where, like, because remember it used to go off like chapters and sections and stuff, right? So when you start a fresh, so you just finished the last test Friday, and it's a Monday, and you started a new chapter with all new information, and it feels like you're just like absorbing all this information. You're like, Jesus Christ, a lot. It's like hard to focus. If anything, the overload comes on a Monday because you're like, all right, new team, new week, new tendencies, new personnel, new formations. Like, Jesus, here we go again. But then by the time you get to the game time, like you've been going and you've been studying in the film room and the meeting rooms, going out and repping it all throughout the week. By the time the game comes, man, it's almost like you've already downloaded that. Boom. You just go play. But that's a good question, Ricky. And that was a cool little clip. But yeah, to answer, like for me, it wasn't always one play. I kind of like getting a series under my belt. I like once I got my first defensive series out the way, all like the nervous energy was gone. And I'm like, I'm in my zone. Other guys, I guess it's one play for me though. I looked at it like a series. My first series, I'm not gonna lie. Like my first series, I had just so much energy. Like I'm trying to just like dial down. And then second series, I'm good to go. We're locked and loaded. Unless I was on special, I'm not gonna lie. Now, when I was playing special teams, that did kind of get me going. Cause that first, you're starting the game. Once you in special teams, kickoff or kick return, whatever unit you're on, that'll get you ready to play. But yeah, really good question, man. But yeah, they described it pretty much to a T. We already kind of ran through this timeout that we were going to hit at 30. So Chase, we'll just combine breaks and we'll just go to about 42, 43 while we're rolling. Again, Talking Tuesday, 205-342-9904. You guys are welcome to join in on the conversation. Let's go back. Let's go through this chat and see what you guys got for us as well. Carson says Gus wants to run misdirection runs and have a lot of eye candy. I just don't know if FSU has offensive line to do it effectively. He's definitely going to throw out a lot of different personnel groupings, different formations, a lot of eye candy. So it's going to be interesting. And then just knowing he's going to be working with a dual threat quarterback, a guy that definitely can make plays with his legs, man. It expands what they could do even more. I mean, there's going to be plus one runs. There's going to be probably a lot of zone read action. There's going to be a number of things. And the biggest thing is, man, you just got to play disciplined football. When it boils down to it, man, like when you're playing teams like that that do all that, a lot of it is just smoke and mirrors. It's just extra stuff. It literally is designed, because at the end of the day, there's only so many plays you can run in football. But what differs is how people get to them. That's all these people are doing. Even when it looks like they're doing all this fancy stuff before the play, half of it means nothing. They know they're getting to a play, but they're going to start with this guy in the slot. Then they're going to motion them back in. Then they're going to have the back starting a pistol formation. That way you don't know pre-snap. Like that's literally what it's for. It's designed so you just don't know, right? That's why you'll see, like, some teams, they do that. They'll keep their back in the pistol. Why? Because if you know what side he's offset to, again, like as a defensive end, if the back was ever offset to me, you know, more than likely the run is going away. You know what I mean? Like, so if I'm away from the back, I used to, like, that was always our coaching point. It was like, where, like, think about it. If the back is away from you, if they're doing a handoff, he's running at you. Yes, he could cut up inside, but he's not going to get the handoff and then just turn and run the same direction to the side that he's on. So they do stuff like that, putting backs in those spots or putting the back out, then motion them back in. Again, it's just eye candy, just making the defense show what they're in, making them adjust, trying to get confused. Because in football, man, all it takes is one guy being a half step late. And the higher the level you get on, the less room for error. I tell people that all the time. And it was funny, I was watching that Mark Ingram clip with Ryan Williams. He's on their podcast. And this, he said the same thing that I always say when people ask about the difference between college and NFL. The big guys are faster. It's not like this, like the receivers, everybody's fast in the SEC. Everybody, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that. It's the action has happened so much quicker because those big dudes, man, it's fast, man. Those holes close quicker. People just, I mean, they know what they're doing a lot faster. And it makes it even more difficult. But anyway, no, I agree with you, Carson. It's going to be a lot of eye candy, but we should be ready. Again, Kalen DeBoer's offense is not an easy one to really, you know, go against. So practicing against it every day should be a plus. Travis says, how's Jam doing? I'll be honest. I'm not going to sit here and lie. Like, I know a personal update. I'm sure he's doing just fine, though. I think he had a little operation immediately that evening. At least that's what it sounded like. I could be wrong on that. I don't want a false report, but I think I read something that said he went in to get that cleaned up or handled. So I'm assuming that he's on the road to recovery already. I just know that the athletic training staff, they do a phenomenal job, right? Best in the country. Jeff Allen and company, Jeremy, Giselle, all of those, Paige, everybody. They're great, man. And they'll get him, you know, back as soon as possible and back to 100% like he should be. So definitely praying for him. But I don't have like a personal update, Travis, but I'm assuming he's already kind of healing up. I mean, typically that's how it works. I remember when I got surgery on my biceps, man, like I was back to, I remember they were like, all right, so you got rehab. I think it was like a couple days after I had surgery or something. I was like, excuse me? I was like, what do you mean I got rehab? I'm like, dude, I got a damn, like, not cast, but I'm like, whole split. I was like, can't even move my arm. Like, no. They're like, you know, we just got to go ahead and get the process started. And I'm not going to lie, I thought, I looked at them like, they're crazy. It's like, what do you mean I'm doing, how am I doing rehab already? But sure enough, shoot, we were on it, like, ASAP. And allegedly, I think it's better if you do it like that. I guess I don't know, but hey, I was following their guidance and it worked out just fine. We got a couple more minutes left before we hit this break. Let's see. Teddy says, I think Rich Young is about to show out. I'll just I'll correct that on air. Show out this season. Now is the time for him to prove it. You know, I know today in terms of an update on that at practice, he was leading off the running back drills, which. I believe he's been like second in the running back line this whole time, pretty much behind Jam. So it just makes sense. He just bumps up. But I do know, I mean, they really like Daniel Hill, what he's done, and they've been really impressed with Dre Washington as well. So I think all three guys are going to get opportunities. I don't know who's going to get the first carry. I don't know who's going to get the bulk of the carries. I don't know if there is going to be just one guy that really takes a bunch more than the others, maybe a few more carries than others, but I think Richard's got, you know, a lot of potential. I think he's definitely had a nice camp as well, but I know they're going to want to see what Daniel Hill can do when he gets his opportunity. I know Dre Washington, a guy who's got a lot of experience and a little bit more juice than some of the others. I mean, I think he's going to get his shot. So really, man, it's there for the taking. I think if you're a guy in that running back room, now's your time. I mean, you got a clear shot to step up and be that guy. And obviously when Jam comes back, he's going to be implemented plenty. But still, you got a few games, probably four, maybe five games, to really go and show yourself where Jam comes back, man. You got to take advantage of opportunity. We always say this, man, next man up. And that's exactly what they're going to do here. So whether it's Richard, whether it's Daniel Hill, Dre Washington, I personally just think it's going to be by committee, but we'll see. But I do know Richard Young will look good when he got his opportunities. Last year, you know, different times throughout the year. I know he got a little banged up, but I think between those three guys I mentioned, I think we'll be just fine. Definitely a blow to lose Jam, but we should be just fine those first few games. Lee says, are you more of a fan of the 3-4 or the 4-3 defense? Bama looks to run more of a 4-3 defense now, but they also mix up the 3-3-5, which I absolutely despise. So, I personally, man, I mean, playing in a 3-4, being a 3-4 outside linebacker, I'm always going to be partial to it. But I'll say this, and I answered something similar. Somebody was asking me if I was a coordinator, what would my philosophy be? And I said I would always just say a multiple defense. With today's college football, you can't be one-dimensional. You got to have the personnel to be able to switch it up. And I think that's one thing that's nice about our defense, man. We have a personnel that allows us to get into multiple different types of you know, personnel groupings and whether if you want, you know, if we want to get to a 3-4 defense, we can put that out there. We got the personnel to do it. 4-3, 4-2-5, 3-3-5. We can do all that, right? So but for me personally, I like the 3-4. I like having athletic outside linebackers that can set an edge. Plus with a 3-4 defense, you've got big bodies as interior linemen. Like, I think people get so caught up on just like what it looks like, but you gotta remember the personnel is different for these. Defensive tackles in a 3-4 defense are much different than a 4-3 defensive tackle. Does that make sense? Because you need bigger bodies. You need those guys to plug, right? But I like the 3-4 in terms of, you know, allowing flexibility, bringing pressure. You know, you got outside backers that can drop. Sometimes they can tear the front, remove, go play in coverage if they're athletic enough. Stack back if you need them to. That other guy shift down. And like a 3-4, you can literally, on the snap, convert it to a 4-3, literally. And that's kind of what we used to do here in Coach Saban's system. The Jack linebacker, I mean, there'd be times he would be in a 6 technique, just like a regular hand in the dirt defensive end. And me as a Sam linebacker, I might have to tear the front, walk out, and go play coverage on number 2. So the 3-4 gives you flexibility, strong edges, the ability to kind of bring pressure from different areas. That's really what, you know, made it, you know, a big thing too is, you know, people are like, you know, bringing one guy, you don't know who's coming because you got 2 outside linebackers on the edge and you don't know one guy's coming, right? That was a big thing with it too. So I personally like the 3-4. That's just me though. 4-3, solid 2. Again, just different personnel in there. And 3-3-5. Listen, I wasn't the biggest fan of it at first too. I just feel like it leaves you a little light up front. You're playing a lot more slice and dice. You know what I mean? You're relying on those second level guys to fill and make plays like that. But I will say it's kind of grown on me. I've seen what Georgia's been able to do with it. I've seen, you know, when Pete Golden was here, we started doing a little bit of it at first. It's like, what the hell are we doing, man? Like, let's just play some physical football. Let's get those guys up a line of scrimmage, right? And let them, you know, do what they do. Let them go choke somebody out, play on the other side of the line of scrimmage. But it does allow flexibility. And in 3-3-5, which again, I mean, can really convert to a 4-2-5. It's just kind of just shuffling guys around. But it does, I mean, it's similar to that 3-4 advantage where you can really send guys from different spots, mix things up, kind of throw off the blocking schemes of offensive linemen. Because, I mean, you've got guys lined up at different spots. But I do feel like you do end up being a little vulnerable at times in the run, especially if you don't. If your run fits aren't perfect, right? You think about it, when you're playing off the ball, I mean, when you're going to fit in the run, you really got to, you know, be sound versus if you just got 4 down linemen. I mean, they're lined up in whether it's, you know, over front, right, where you got the 3 to the 6 technique side, 1 and 5, you know what I mean? Like, you just got guys lined up pretty much in their gaps, and then you got your backers playing accordingly. 3-3-5, it's kind of, to me, like, you can mix things up, be a little more exotic, but you got to really be able to fit things from the second level a lot better, if that makes sense. I know it's kind of talking about a whole bunch, but good question, though. But just know, a lot of people run 3-3-5 now. It started being like a Big 12 thing, you know, a big passing league thing. They wanted to be able to bring pressures, bring blitzes. They're throwing the football a lot. They needed that 5th defensive back out there. So that was one of the reasons it became real popular. But it's kind of, it's made its way over to the SEC. And if you go and watch the tape, man, even Kirby in Georgia, who's known to be physical and all that, they run it as well. And I think it's important, again, when college football is evolving and changing, you got to be able to adapt as well. And, if you go and watch Georgia play, they do it, and they do it effectively, and they're still able to be physical. Again, you got to do it the right way, right? The way the Big 12 used to be doing it and just having those lighter linebackers just kind of trying to fill, and they're running themselves out of position. There's these big gaps. They're getting gashed. I hated that too. I know what you mean. But if you do it the right way, it's actually not too bad, and it allows for a little more flexibility. All right. I've been talking for about 30 minutes straight, so we're going to take a timeout. A little bit longer of a timeout so we can catch back up. When we come back, we keep rolling. We got a bunch of callers on the phone line. We'll go to 342-9904. Hear what you guys got to say. We'll continue to talk with you in the chat. Again, we are live on YouTube at The Miller's Edge. Come hang out with us completely free. We would love to have you right here. Tide on the point 9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
From every generation
across
the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by...
Prescription medications for COVID exist. If you test positive this summer, ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com/COVID-19 to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation,
$500 in cash. Feel the thrill and play to win. Only at Silver Star and Golden Moon Casinos. Must be 21 or older to play.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding.
Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A hot summer afternoon. A few spots could see a shower or storm through the evening hours. The high today, 93. The low tonight, 75. Tomorrow and Thursday, partly sunny with a few scattered afternoon storms around. Highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 90 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTVC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, we only got a minute, so we're gonna hit the phone lines as soon as we come back from this top hour break. But like I said, we had that long segment, so we're trying to get back. Appreciate Chase being able to handle all that. That being said, Let's see if there's one quick thing we can hit as we go to the top of the hour real quick. Oh, in terms of the Auburn National Championships, Carson made a point. He said, to be fair, Auburn should have been in the championship game in 2004, but they got hosed 12-0 and didn't get selected to play in the Natty. So, I mean, to be fair, I would be salty if they didn't. Now, yeah, I don't know. So I guess the BCS, that was a BCS model at that point, right? So, I mean, they just didn't select them, I guess. I just think that's kind of weird that you just all of a sudden 21 years later say, all right, well, we should have got selected, but we didn't. So we're going to claim that. For the other ones, I don't know where they came up with those. I'll do some more research, but I don't know. QD responded that, though. He said they were not better than undefeated USC and Oklahoma back in 04. They got it right by not selecting them to play for the Natty. So I don't know if you guys were watching Auburn back in 2004. What do you think? Do you think they deserved that national championship in 04? Let me know. We got to hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling. I'm going to try to pull up some of these clips, maybe some film to kind of explain a little bit further what I was talking about in terms of defensive schemes and personnel and all that stuff. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Dodgers are still two games up on the Padres in the NL West standings. LA lost at Colorado, giving up a run in the bottom of the ninth. 4-3 for the Rockies, who've won 6 of 7. And then the Padres were beaten 4-3 at home by San Francisco. San Diego had a home run overturned early in the game due to fan interference. Cincinnati beat the Angels 4-1 in Anaheim. The Reds are now just one game out of the last NL wild card behind the Mets. Baltimore won 6-3 at Boston. Winning pitcher Trevor Rogers is 6-2, ERA 1.41 for the Orioles. Pittsburgh down Toronto 5-2. Slugger for the Blue Jays, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. left with hamstring tightness. Philadelphia got 2 home runs from Bryce Harper and beat Seattle 12-7. Detroit shut out Houston 10-0. Milwaukee 7-0 over the Cubs. Game 2 of the Twin Bill was rained out. And in an NFL exhibition, Cincinnati won 31-17 at Washington.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Talking Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. All right, I think I've talked enough for hour number one. Now, if you guys aren't on YouTube, I'm giving a little football lesson here. I'm teaching you guys about the challenges of stopping some of these new age offenses, right? And if you guys like that kind of football talk, man, you definitely probably like this because it's explaining like an offense like Tennessee, man, and how it throws so many challenges at you defensively because you have to respect what they're doing from a personnel standpoint, but then their splits, you know what I mean? Having to make the decision on if you're going to, you know, sell out versus the run because they still can run the ball. And that's why they were so effective at doing it because they're trying to lighten you in the box or they still can hit you over the top, which we saw in 2022. But anyway, that being said, we'll continue that conversation. But first, let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Ragged Gloria first. Ragged, welcome in.
Hey, you know what? Good afternoon now, the Christian. Thank you for taking me in.
Absolutely, man. How's it going?
Man, you know what? I'm having a blessed day. Things are falling in line for me and my family. I would like to preface my question for your show. I am a Southern Cal transplant and a convert to the Alabama Crimson Tide, starting in the year 2007 when Nick Saban first came in. Mm-hmm. Now, listening to bits and pieces, because I've had a very, very busy morning getting my next 2 days set up, based on what I've been hearing about this Auburn going back and claiming and all of that, you know, 9 titles. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to shoot that down. We'll talk about Notre Dame. They got 11, and I believe that is legit. So when it comes to legitimate national champions, Chips, we wear a collectible helmet. You can go to any store and buy. Has the number 18 on it. But based on the information I've heard this morning, bits and pieces, we're only adding up to 13. I guess what I want for all you wonderful callers from Martin Houston's show all the way up to Ryan Fowler's, if somebody can come in and tell me why we're missing 5 legitimate championships. Just confused. I'd like to uphold the 18. And as far as I'm concerned, we should be around 21, 22. Yeah.
That's probably a question for Tommy, who's also on the line. I know he knows. He's like the Alabama historian. He probably could tell us. I think it probably comes down to the claimed and unclaimed type things. That whole thing confuses me, Ragged, if I'm being completely honest with you.
It confuses me, too. I mean, because I think something about 1936 or something like this, you know, but, I mean, there were coaches before Bear. You know, we had Denny. I don't know. Somebody, please help me out here. I'm a confused old man. I love my team.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask Tommy for you, Ragged. When he comes up, I'm going to ask him because I think he'll be able to give us an answer.
I'm going to be listening. You know, God bless you, Christian, and I hope your dad's doing all right. You guys, Chase, thanks for piping me through. Roll Tide, roll. Help me.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Ragged. We appreciate that, man. I have to ask Tommy. I think he'll probably definitely have an answer for us. Hey, real quick before we go to this next call, because this came up. Now, what did I just tell you guys about this play? Again, I'm describing what we're looking at on YouTube. I just said they're in 11 personnel. They got those wide splits by the receivers. They've got a backer that's walked out in his apex, but he's still trying to respect the run, right? And you see, what did I just say? It makes it difficult, especially when they're getting into RPO-type action. Why? Because literally what I just said happened. Look at how the offensive line is blocking. This is 100% RPO because you look at how they're blocking. They're blocking as if it's a run. They're not pass blocking. They're blocking as if it's a run. And so you look and you see exactly what I said could happen is going to happen. Nico saw that this guy was pretty much uncovered. He had an apex player, but that safety is way back, right? So what does he do? He pulls it. It's a quick, short route real quick. Boom. Easy 5 yards at least. Makes that guy miss. Could be made way more. Those are the types of plays that, you know, you have to consistently defend nowadays in college football. And that's why you're seeing more, I guess, a lot of changes in defenses and how people are playing stuff, you know, because you can't just get in these, you know, base 3-4s, especially when a team's doing that. Because what's going to happen is that would be an outside linebacker that's responsible to continue to walk out on number two out there. And you don't want that. Trust me, you definitely don't. All right, let's keep rolling on the phone lines. I'll keep fooling around and skipping through some of these clips as well. I promise I'm listening to our callers as well, though. 205-342-9904. We got Tommy up next. Tommy, welcome in. You have an answer? Did you just have a conversation, Tommy?
Yes. I will explain it to you in less than 5 minutes, if possible. All right, Southern Cal got put on probation in 2004. Remember, Reggie Bush got his Heisman Trophy taken away from him because he got benefit. Now, they restored it. Well, Auburn plus was, well, hey, in 93, we went undefeated, and we didn't get to play in a bowl game because we was on probation, and blah, 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 this. I remember in 1993, you weren't here, but Auburn fans had stickers saying, we are the radio national champions. Because back then, there wasn't no television and all this.
Mm-hmm.
About us having 13, 18, everybody. Well, in 1957, when Auburn won, they split with Ohio State. Back in the 50s and 40s, it was split national championships. And the Big Ten had a rule that they weren't going to play in the Rose Bowl. They were too good to play the Sugar, the Cotton, and the Orange. But the rest of the season, that was a Big Ten attitude. Then the Big Ten had a stupidity rule. Once you went 1 year to the Rose Bowl, and you won the Big Ten, you were not eligible. So they, it just created the crap. But going back to, like, people say, no, you got 13. Well, you know what? You want to get real serious and look at the fine-tuned code, nobody do, but I will. Nobody should win a national championship any time during World War II. Because Army and Navy were stacked with ringers. I mean, you went to the academy, you get to go to school 4 years, and you become an officer, you just stay out of the war. And here what rubbed Notre Dame fans mad when I tell them this. I said, y'all supposed to be a good Christian school. Y'all say y'all against war, but my Lord. Y'all had a bunch of rangers because Army and Notre Dame dominated during World War II, and 90%, about 85% of students didn't fail football team. Our Army didn't fail football team in 43. Most SEC students and Vanderbilt went like 2 years, some students went 3 years. And they would have these flight schools that are around. Guess what? Some of these schools have former professional players playing on their team to get out of the military draft because they can go military or go to D.C. for 3 years or 2 years and become an officer. So that kept them out of the war. So if you really want to be fair, nobody's going to win a national championship in the war yet because you have former players that play for the New York Giants and the Redskins and they've got playing college football again in the war years. So, I mean, everybody just needs to put a stop in it. I mean, it's funny. When our mama claim won, they really didn't win. When our mama win was, oh, y'all didn't play y'all championship game that year. Y'all didn't deserve blah, 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 blah. Just like the year we beat LSU. So.
Dang. I knew you'd have an answer for us, Tommy.
Well, I mean, I've heard this. I mean, I met people who lived outside playing on them teams. And so,
wow,
it was politics as usual, but.
So with that being said, are you buying Auburn's newly added national championships, or do you think they're frauds?
I'm not buying it, no. They couldn't beat Southern Cal. I mean, they judged Alabama in 1977, so Coach Wright couldn't beat Notre Dame. We lost to Memphis South Bend in 76. Well, y'all can't beat Notre Dame. Y'all deserve to be no one. I think Auburn played USC 2 years before, back-to-back years, and USC with Carlson Palmer waxed them. So, I mean, I thought how great Oklahoma was. My Lord, something sounds cool into them like there was nothing.
Dang.
No, I'm not buying it. I'm biased. I'm an Alabama fan. Yeah, I'm really considering Crimson colored glasses. I mean, yeah, but, no, you have some imposed back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, claiming people in the national championship. That's why the South of the SEC don't have many high trophy wins. It was all Notre Dame or Big Ten. I mean, come on, Tristan. They all have back-to-back Heisman trophy winners in the 30s. Come on. When was the last time Yale was a powerhouse? I mean,
and
the first Heisman trophy. Go ahead.
No, I said that's a good question. I don't know.
No, they wasn't. The first Heisman trophy winner was from the University of Chicago. I'm sorry. I haven't found the book that they won a national championship unless they were given it by a Chicago newspaper. Or, I mean, yeah, that was a... you had sports writer back then. Didn't cover, didn't listen to the game. I think they were right for his section of the country or his conference. Yeah, it was modest. Yeah, big time. So...
Tommy the historian always going to have our history lesson ready for us, man. I'm glad you lined up right after that because I didn't know how to answer Ragged's question.
Well, I hope I answer it.
That gives us some more insight.
Yeah, I'm glad I can help out. Yeah, but going back to the running back, everybody's footwork is the next man up. It's your opportunity to sign. We got 4 and 5-star running back. Somebody be able to talk to Rock, block for him, offensive line, block for him. We'll be fine.
Yeah, I think it'll be just fine, Tommy. When I was talking about it yesterday, I just wanted to be clear. I mean, I just don't like when people try to spin every single thing as if like, oh, everything is rainbows. Because I'm just like, it's okay to acknowledge that it's a blow to lose your starting running back for the first two games. It's okay to say that. It's okay to say that there's going to be an impact. That doesn't mean, you know, we won't fare just fine. That doesn't mean we're all going to struggle in the first two. No, I'm not saying that. But it is a blow to lose your senior running back, who's your not only your best back, but, you know, the best option for pass pro, which is important, the leadership, I mean, the comfortability, knowing, I mean, you got a new starting quarterback, you're going to need to run the ball effectively. That's just a fact. So I just wanted to be clear on that because I just get tired of when everything, I hate when there's people just, oh, where are we? Just fine. Look at the stable running backs. Everybody bragged about our running back room last year with Justice Haynes, and I hate to say it, but how'd that go? You know what I mean? Like, Jam was the guy, even with Justice Haynes in there. So, I do think we'll be fine. Though I'm excited for the young guys to get opportunities. I think it'll be a good challenge for them. And look, you know, just like I know from being an athlete myself, man, like, next man up mentality. You got an opportunity to go prove yourself and earn even more of a load for you throughout the rest of the year. So go do that. I mean, if anything, it's probably a blessing in disguise for the young guys in terms of getting early experience and getting the opportunity to really solidify their role moving forward once Jam does come back.
Yeah. I mean, everybody wants to love on somebody when they get hurt. Oh, what am I going to do? Or they want to talk about next year already. I'm like, I had a rant yesterday on my father's show about just the Trinity. I'm like, don't read everything you see on Facebook and all this crap. Sort it out. I mean, I heard a story that Nick Saban began the season tuned out Taylor DeMore. I went, no, he did not. And I said something mean yesterday, Tristan. You might get on to me.
Uh-oh.
I said, all Alabama fans need to move on. Nick Saban, not the head coach. He's one of the two winning head coaches in college football, and we've been fortunate to have two of them. Coach Paul Van Wright and Nick Saban. Embrace it and get behind this next man. It's his time to show what he can do. Alabama is in a new era. Get behind them and support them in the team. That's all my rant was.
Nothing wrong with that, man. Sometimes you just got to get some stuff off your chest, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm a new one, my man. I gotta go run to the doctor and get my ears checked.
Well, there you go, man. Hopefully that goes well, Tommy. Always good to hear from you, brother. And always appreciate the lessons you teach, man.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. All right. Good deal. That was our buddy, Tommy. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling. Got some clips pulled up. I was showing some Georgia defense stuff just to kind of basically show the point I was making about different things. We saw them in 3-3-5 look. Saw them in 4-2-5, saw them in 3-4. But now we got a UCF pulled up, and I'm just kind of going through it. I wish I could just let it play, but stupid copyright rules. But what I'm getting at is I'm just kind of giving you a glimpse of what I've been watching in terms of what Gus Malzahn was doing a little bit of last season with UCF. And a matter of fact, he was working with, I believe KJ Jefferson was a quarterback. So we'll keep talking about this. And again, don't worry, I'm going to give a whole breakdown before we get to Florida State on my preview, but just kind of getting a little early snapshot. Quick timeout. We keep on rolling right here. Tide 100.9, 1230.
In cash. Feel the thrill and play to win. Only at Silver Star and Golden Moon Casinos. Must be 21 or older to play.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
Come back. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A hot summer afternoon. A few spots could see a shower or storm through the evening hours. The high today 93, the low tonight 75. Tomorrow and Thursday, partly sunny with a few scattered afternoon storms around. Highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 91 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, let's keep on rolling on the phone lines because we've got a couple more to get to. 205-342-9904. Next up, we got Robbie Glenn. Robbie, welcome in.
Hey, Christian. How you doing, buddy? Man, stressful night, stressful day with Stryker, but what better way to try to get over that is just talk football, because it is almost here, and that helps me cope with some things. But I was going to talk to you, since you're talking so much about defense and everything, and the Florida State-Bama game. Do you think the game plan for Florida State, if it's already been kind of, you know, you kind of set how you want to do things, not knowing how it's going to run, but I was thinking Florida State, because we had a veteran back in Jam, a big offensive line, that they were going to try to maybe air Ty, because he is going to be new to the game, even though he's played, to kind of mess with him a little bit. Not so much like 92 national championship game when brother Bill Oliver stacked 11 against Gino Toretta and messed it with his head. But I thought they were going to stack the box a little bit because of Jam being back there, that we, you know, make us not run and make Ty maybe pass a little bit beginning of the game. But do you think now that's changed with Jam going down and they might change a little bit? And, you know, personally, do you think they would do that? Just now we got younger backs and Ty's more of the veteran out there. Do you think that their game plan will change a little bit now that Jam's gone?
That's a good question, Robbie. I don't think it will change, honestly, if I'm being completely honest. I think they have confidence in those other backs, and I don't think it's like, you know, yes, Jam was, you know, he's having a better camp than the other guys, right? And yes, he's more reliable in pass pro than probably any of the other guys. But in terms of enough to the point where they have to completely kind of go off script and kind of alter what they had anticipated doing, I don't think so, if I'm being honest with you. I think they'll still go in there, fully expect to try to run the football, establish that running game. You know, one thing that people don't really talk about is if you really go back and watch Washington, even in 2023 with, you know, Grubb as offensive coordinator, I mean, they ran the football effectively, and it was actually a big part. I know they threw the ball a whole bunch, but if you really go pay attention to it, running the football was, you know, like a big deal for them. Like, it was something that was a big part of their offense. So I think they'll still anticipate doing that. I mean, especially when you look, I mean, Daniel Hill, they got several guys. Again, I think by committee, they should be fine. You got Daniel Hill, who's a big physical guy, good downhill runner, but can also catch the ball in the backfield. Dre Washington kind of can do a little bit of everything. Got some juice, got some experience, right? Richard Young, we've seen, you know, north-south runner, can get downhill, pretty explosive, hitting those holes. So I think they feel confident with what they've got, Robbie. And I don't see them really changing too much, especially with Ty being his first start. Even without Jam, I still think it's going to be important to kind of ease him in there, you know, set him up for success, let him just take what the defense is giving him, and then kind of get him in a rhythm, and then really let him, you know, let him air it out a little bit.
No, I love our backs. I think they're going to be great. But what I was thinking is that Florida State might change how they do their defense now, knowing that Jam's not starting. Because I was thinking we were definitely going to establish the run, and we're still going to, but I'm talking about that first series. Do you think that Florida State defense is going to change a little bit and not stack the box and dare Ty to try, you know, try to beat them with his arm? Because I thought fully that we were going to run the ball, and we still are. But I just think that first series, I'm just curious what Florida State's game plan is to stop the run or stop Ty. Well, that's what I was just thinking.
Yeah, well, this was the other stat I forgot to throw out there that I have pulled up here on our stream, is that Florida State was dead last in their conference last year in yards allowed on the ground. They gave up 184.7 yards per game on the ground. And that was dead last in the conference. So, again, I know it's a new team, but if you're looking at a team and you're scouting and you're saying, all right, let's see some of their weaknesses. Okay, they were dead last and gave up nearly 200 yards a game on the ground. Even with Jam out, I'm still going to send in that rushing attack. But in terms of, do I think they'll do something different? It's hard to really say, because I mean, they're probably trying to figure out what we're going to look like too. You got to think. I mean, we're going to look probably a good deal different, because you know they're not game planning for Jalen Milroe and his, you know, his legs. Now they're game planning for Ty Simpson, who also can run. But is this, you know what I'm saying? It's different. So they're probably trying to feel it out as well. But I expect them. I mean, they're if I'm a defensive coordinator at Florida State, if I look at this offense, I'm going to say, look, I know they got a new quarterback, but number one, I know their receiving core. They got Ryan Williams. We got to figure out how we're going to defend this guy. Are we going to bracket him, which is double him? Or what are we going to do to stop him? Because we know he's going to be a target and he's going to be looking to make plays. Number one. Number two, we know the starting running back is out, but they still probably want to establish that running game. So they're going to try to improve in that, especially given they know they're probably thinking, all right, well, we were last in the conference that run the football. They're probably going to test us, right? So we got to be ready for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's tough to say, Robbie, but I just genuinely just – I don't think it will change much with Jam being out, just given that we have other guys that can pretty much do what he did, just don't have the experience.
It's a chess match for sure.
Yeah, it's
interested
to
see how we start. It's
going to
be fun.
No, it is. It's going to be fun to watch. Now, their pass defense, yeah, for sure. Now, their pass defense, I will say, is it's the complete opposite. Allegedly, they were first in the conference in terms of defending the pass. They only gave up 200 yards a game through the air. So, I guess take that for what it's worth. So, I mean, they obviously could defend the passing attack, but the run, Coach Saban used to say getting ran through like crap through a tin horn. I don't know where he came up with that, but that was his favorite thing to say. So, look, if I'm Ryan Grubb, though, I'm testing them with that run. I'm putting Daniel Hill, I'm putting Richard, I'm giving feeding all those guys until we figure out who's got the hot hand. I'm gonna keep feeding them, but then when we're ready, we'll let Ty air it out a little bit. But, yeah, nah, I mean, giving up 185 yards a game, last in the ACC, yeah, nah. We better be
running
better
the ball. Ground.
Yeah, man, I'm running the damn ball. I'm running it.
Well, I agree. So it's going to be fun. But I'll just be listening. I would get into the discussion about the other five national championships for Bama because, you know, they didn't play – you know, they didn't play legit number one versus number one. You know, they were locked into the, like he said, the Rose Bowl and all that. So you might have been undefeated, but they gave it to the winner of the Rose Bowl. And then that's why Bama claimed one because they were undefeated, but they played in the Sugar Bowl. So that's why you had those split national titles back then when we had the other five. But that's before. But we claimed them back then. We didn't come back 30 years later and claim them.
Oh. Yeah, that's why to me I'm just like it's kind of embarrassing, man. Like, well, like out of nowhere you just claim titles like that. Like, now if it was something like there was like a vote or somebody said, all right, boom, we're going to now address or respect this. All right, cool. But yeah, nah. To me, that's just kind of weird that it's just like randomly like they're going to pop up in 2025 and say, all right, oh by the way, we're adding these five national titles. It's like. Yeah, it's kind of weird, man. But
yeah, it is. That's it. All right, Chris.
Robbie, I appreciate you.
Appreciate having me. All right, roll tide, brother.
Yes, sir. Roll tide. Good stuff, man. All right, we got to hit another timeout. We come back. I think we got one more call to get to. Then we'll keep on rolling as well. 205-342-9904 is number. Title under point 9-1230.
Radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at wyatt.fulton@townsquaremedia.com and I can tell you more and let's help your business score big.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at
andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30 plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Gift Feed Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, let's keep it rolling on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We were listening to Jeremy Bernard, on the stream during the break. So what we'll do is after we hear from, Marty on the phone lines, we'll listen to these interviews. Ryan Grubb spoke, so it was offensive day. Ryan Grubb spoke, and then Jeremy Bernard and Caden Proctor, I believe, as well. So we'll try to squeeze in at least Ryan Grubb for today. 205-342-9904. Back to the phone lines. Marty, welcome in.
Hey, well, Christian, how's it going today? Christian, I got 3 points, all right? First of all, the UPI, the UP and the AP poll was always against Alabama. Two times they denied us. 1977, we were ranked number two. Texas was number one. Notre Dame was number five. They beat number one Texas, but we beat, I don't know who we beat, but we beat them pretty bad in our bowl game, but they gave it to Notre Dame all the way from number five up to number one. Bear Bryant's best team was 1966. They were undefeated. They won it in 64. They won it in 65. They started out number one in 66. Won all their games and blew somebody out in the Sugar Bowl. I think it was Nebraska. And Air Force season didn't even try to win that game. He played for a dumb old tie. And they gave it to Michigan State and Notre Dame that year. And that was Bear Bryant's best team. The only reason they did that was because of racial violence in the South, in Alabama. The AP and them... I mean, and another thing, one thing my friend that played, that's African-American, and he played baseball, Major League Baseball, he always says you never should count any of the national championships before 1970 because African-Americans weren't allowed to play in the South. But that's his philosophy, and he's a good friend of mine. So, but I mean, I'm not going there. All right, Ron, my other thing, all right, is how do you think the weather and cramps will play a part in the game in Tallahassee at 2:30?
Really good question. I think it's going to be key that you go into it prepared. I know, Bree, who took over as nutritionist, head nutritionist here with the football team, she's going to do a great job keeping those guys hydrated. And, you know, the biggest mistake is people think it's like, oh, you do it like right before the game. No, but I mean, the hydration process should start literally a day, maybe even two in advance. I mean, loading up on electrolytes and drinking plenty of fluids, because it's going to be a hot one. I don't know what the forecast is for the game itself, but we do know Tallahassee's a hot place. It's going to be very hot. And there's going to be some guys, especially in that first game. I'm telling you, man, even when you've done training camp, there's just something about a football game with the intensity and everything that comes with it. So your body's still trying to get back acclimated to really the load of playing a true football game. That being said, you know, I think it was smart for Coach DeBoer to adjust the time of the scrimmage, allowing them to practice in the heat. I think that will be key, and I think that will end up helping them out. But really, man, hydration, drinking plenty of electrolytes, those salt packets, tablets, pickle juice, all the things that they offer you, man, you need to be saying yes and making sure you're prepared, because if you're cramping up, man, you can't be on the field. And if you're not on the field, man, that's hurting the team. So you got to do everything you can. Now, sometimes it's inevitable. I mean, you can't really, sometimes people just cramp up, but you got to do everything you can to prevent it, excuse me.
No, you played, I know, in the first game, you watch a lot of football, and a lot of them are people are cramping, even in the NFL. All right, number three, how we beat Gus Malzahn is we just don't let him keep getting first downs and playing that up-tempo speed where he gets off a play in 5 seconds. Put a first down, put it behind the chain, then he can't play that up-tempo, and we beat him every time. Right.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point, Marty. And I would also add to that, being disciplined. I think being disciplined is probably one of the biggest things that you can do against an opponent like that, because they're going to try to throw things at you. They're going to have all the smoke and mirrors, the window dressing. They want you to bite the cheese. But the biggest thing is you got to make sure you guys are disciplined and that you have effective communication. Because when they go in motion, when they do all that jet motion, when they do all these different types of shifts and movements pre-snap, you got to have communication. Communication is key. That way you're all playing on the same page. Because what happens is one guy moves, and if one guy on defense doesn't get the adjustment or the check, or he's not, you know, doing what he needs to do, all it does is set yourself up to allow explosive plays. And we know Gus Malzahn and these trickery-based offenses, man, they're trying to hit on explosive plays. They're trying to take advantage of you making a mistake. And the best way to prevent that from happening is to, A, know your assignment, know what to expect, make sure you're prepared going into the football game. And then, B, when you are out there, communicating amongst each other, even if it's over, you even got to over-exaggerate. Some people think they're too cool. And they're like, oh, I already got it. I just said it once. No. I mean, just shout out what you're doing. Shout out the call. Shout out the adjustment. Shout out the check, the formation, the personnel. All those things. And then, you know, be disciplined, right? Don't be looking where you shouldn't look. If you're a C-gap player, take care of the C-gap. If you're the quarterback player, don't get nosy on the dive. That's somebody else's responsibility. Take the quarterback. That's the problem with football guys. Sometimes you're trying to make plays and your excitement, your energy's up, and you don't even realize. If you just do your job, Coach Saban used to tell us that all the time. If everybody just did their job, everything will take care of itself. If quarterback took the quarterback, the guy that has the dive took the dive, the guy that's responsible for one took one, the guy in the B gap handled his B gap, A gap. If everybody just handled their responsibility, everything works out. There might be a missed tackle here and there. They might make a play, sure. But when you're just giving free plays away off busts and missed assignments, that's one of the easiest ways to lose a football game. And you're really vulnerable when you're playing to somebody like Malzahn. So, yeah, I definitely would say discipline and communication will be key.
Oh, yeah, because that's how we lost the Vanderbilt game. We weren't disciplined enough. We turned ahead the wrong way, and there he goes the other way, and we're looking for the running back coming through the 8-hole, and he going through the 6-hole because he didn't play disciplined football against Vanderbilt. That's the loss right there. We just didn't play disciplined defense. It wasn't so that the 100%. Offense played so bad. All right, Christian, have a good day, and I'll yell at you later.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Marty. Good deal, man. Or how about this, Chase? This is what we'll do. We can we'll just roll through this. So we'll combine breaks, and I'll just go ahead and roll this this interview because I know I don't want to run out of time. So here's what we'll do because that lined up perfect. We're gonna go ahead and go straight to Ryan Grubb from here because he spoke to the media post practice today, and so this is what the offensive coordinator had to say.
We good? I'm ready.
You got another starter you can name for us?
No. Parker Brailsford. He's going to start.
Coach, with you being here with Mitchell kind of quarterback, would the offense look drastically different than, say, last year?
That's kind of the obvious one, right? Is like we're not necessarily a Jalen Milroe offense right now. Just Jalen was a super talented runner. And that was probably a part of the game plan every week. And, which was smart last year by the offensive staff. So I think that's probably the biggest difference.
How do you anticipate the running back distribution to change?
I think it's, we got to see a lot here in the next week or so to see who can handle the game plan, who's the most responsible with all their duties.
What do you see from that group somewhere?
Running back group? It's a broad question. Seen a lot. Daniel Hill has done a good job providing a lot of protection. And I think he's gotten a lot better at that as far as with his eyes. He's a super physical guy. I think Daniel started to run like the back we saw in the spring early in camp. I thought he was a little bit slow to come to that. Dre has great vision running the football. He improves every day still. I think some of the pass protection responsibilities are things that probably were not in his wheelhouse prior to getting here. Kevin Riley has started to show up a little bit. He's a guy that has really nice vision. Not as big a back as the other guys, but runs very physical and is really good out of the backfield.
What have you seen from Richard?
Tight end room. A lot of guys, Danny and Josh are doing a great job as the older guys, getting a lot of reps. Caleb has shown up, shown to be more physical. That was one of the things I think was going to be the biggest challenge from initially, making the big jump from, high school. Ball to this. Jay Lindsey is super dependable as a guy showing up to be able to be a guy with his hand on the ground, can be a move player for you, and certainly has provided a lot of depth for us.
What have you seen from Richard? How is he progressing?
Richard Newton?
Rich Young.
Yeah. I thought you said Richard Newton. I was like, wow, that was our running back in Washington. So Rich Young, real similar running backs, by the way. Rich has been super physical and has been a guy the last two scrimmages, I thought, when we need a little bit of a spark to pop a, run right up the middle and finish it. He's done a great job. He's worked really, really hard at becoming a better player out of the backfield. Has gotten better at that. Very responsible. He cares a lot. He's tough, physical, and we love him.
What were your impressions of Ty in the second scrimmage?
Ty, I think, was 12 of 15 or with two drops. I thought he was very controlled, distributed the ball right where he was supposed to be. I thought his eyes were in the right spot. Like, I thought he was very disciplined. We're trying to put him in some spots in the fringe and things like that to see how he'd respond and make sure he takes care of the football, keep us in field goal range, all those things. And I thought he responded really, really well. Had calm demeanor when it was good and bad. There was a couple flows there. We started out really fast again and did a nice job. And we hit a little bit of a lull. I thought he was there to respond.
The two other quarterbacks as well in the scrimmage.
Austin started really, really clean, had a really nice touchdown drive to start. Keelan was doing the same, marched down the field. We had a couple hiccups up front there that put the ball backwards a little bit. But I thought initially in the scrimmage, all three of the guys played really, really clean, accurate throws, pushing the ball down the field when they could, and were smart with their checkdowns.
We heard the noise today when we were out there. How do you think the team did deal with that? Did you
also begin to fret? Just like any time. I mean, this was the first time we worked it hard. So a lot to improve on there, of course. You know, I think anytime you start really getting that in where you're running plays and using motions and all those things, like there's some bumps on it. I thought they did better as they got more used to it in practice, and we'll continue to work it. That's something that obviously we'll have to be ready for.
How are Cam and Gino doing at guard, and how comfortable would you be rolling out there with them if Jaden's not back in time?
Very comfortable. Those are two veteran players, very versatile too. They can both play left or right, so they're interchangeable. But Cam brings a lot of physical presence to him. Gino is a savvy player that knows how to connect with the center.
What would your offense miss without Jam Miller? And what have the conversations been like with him? How's he kind of opened up
that? Jam is, he's such a stud. I mean, he is, he'll be a value to our team no matter what right now, just because of his demeanor and leadership. So I think that's one of the things you miss on the field right away is just him being out there. There's a presence to him when he's on the field. So we'll certainly miss that. His explosiveness, his running style, you know, all those things will be missed. But he's been great. You know, I think he's in high spirits. He knows this is a temporary setback and he'll be ready to go.
Ryan, spoke to the tight ends last week during open availability. Josh mentioned that you're going to be using one big plays. What does that look like
from an offensive standpoint? Oh, man. A lot of things I can't talk about. I don't know. I don't know. I've just always felt like the tight ends were the equalizer. They're the guy that can change the box count. They can manipulate what the defense thinks as far as how many people they have to have relevant to the run fit. So I think that the guys realizing that they're always part of that and how they can manipulate that for us is truly unique.
How close are Josh and Danny to being 100%?
I mean, they're out there, they're practicing, so to me, they're 100%. They don't have yellow jerseys on, they're rolling. I think, you know, they're both repping quite a bit, honestly. Like, at one point, they're only at, like, 20 reps. They've went way past that to where, you know, I don't feel like there's any limitations. Cole is a really savvy route runner. He knows how to get in and out of breaks, understands how to, like, play off the leverage of defenders, read coverages, and in the last week and a half probably has made more contested catches than anybody on the team. And that's one of the things I don't think you would necessarily think from a guy that's a little bit smaller in stature, but he's very competitive when the football's in the air.
There's a guy, I see a lot of eyes on, obviously, Ryan Williams heading into here. What's kind of been your message to him over the course of this fall to kind of get him to prepare for that stage that he's about to set?
Well, Ryan kind of does that himself. For his age, he is a very, very just mellow guy. Like, he can take it all in, and the moment's never too big. It's also probably what makes him really a good player when the big games hit is that he won't melt in those situations. So I think that part is a little bit built in just because of who he is. But for him, he's still working on route running, inside, outside, wherever we put him, and just getting to be a better receiver.
This offense to succeed, what do you need for
the run? Yeah, I think, you know, for us, it's really putting the stress on the offensive line and the tight ends, you know, being physical up front and creating presence. So I think when they do that, if we can establish the line of scrimmage, we certainly have the skill players on the outside. I think that the running game will be key to how far this season can go for us.
Besides Cam and Gino, has anybody impressed you stepping up at guard?
Michael Carroll played a little bit. Olas has done a nice job. So we got good depth there. Those two guys are probably the first two that stand out.
Talked about the difference in offense and being, you know, Jalen Milroe offense. Is part of that less quarterback design runs? I know Ty can move.
Yeah.
But do you look to do that less with him? Or?
I mean, to a point, Ty is certainly capable of doing those things. I've just, you know, probably philosophically, Mike Penix was a good runner. People wouldn't know that, but we didn't really run him until the playoffs or late just because it's a long season. And, you know, you're better off with your starter being able to throw the football in this offense than run it. We'll certainly look for those opportunities because I think Ty is a good runner. And we'll make sure we have, you know, things for him, but taking care of him, making sure that he's upright is important. He's getting stronger. He's getting there. I think that there was a little bit, you know, of catch up early in camp because he wasn't in spring ball. So we're working on the sustainability of him staying on the field.
All right. So I'm going to jump in there because I think there's one last question, but obviously it started acting funny again. But hey, look, we made it through pretty much 95% of the video and was pretty good there. Plus, we got to get out of here, make room for T-Town Sports Daily coming up next. But that was offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb speaking to the media today post-practice. A lot of good stuff from that. We'll probably respond to it tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Appreciate everybody. Look forward to seeing you again tomorrow right here at Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC.